Her Mother's Secret, written by Natasha Lester and read by Edwina Wren.
What wouldn't you give to go back to the beginning? To be those people again? The future so fresh and promising that it seems impossible not to get it right? Therese Anne Fowler. Part 1. Chapter 1. Sutton Veney, England, November 1918. The jar in Leonora's hand contained a substance as black as the sky on a new moon night. She unscrewed the lid, her friend Joan watching eagerly over her shoulder. "It worked," Leonora said. "Try it on," Joan said. Leonora dampened her finger and rubbed it over the mascara she'd made the day before, creating a film of black liquid. She applied it to the curve of her lashes, cautiously at first, before dipping her finger back into the jar and adding some more. "How does it look?" "Wait." Joan picked up a hand mirror and the copy of Pictures in the Picture Girl magazine that was lying open on the workbench in front of them. She held the mirror in front of Leo, and the magazine opened to a photograph of Theda Bara as Cleopatra beside Leo's face. Leo smiled at her reflection, green eyes made larger and brighter by the mascara. "It's better than I hoped it would be. Here." She passed the jar to Joan, who coloured her lashes as Leo had done. "I think next time I'll add some oil to make it shinier," Leo said as she studied her face. "Cleopatra's lashes definitely have more gloss." "Given it's the only mascara available for hundreds of miles around, I think it's a very good first effort." "Would you believe it's just soap flakes and lampblack? I tried Vaseline and lampblack, but it was too gooey. This is easier to put on, but I think I can make it even better." Leo sighed, looking around the mess of the still room, workbench cluttered with salves and ointments and her cosmetic experiments. "That's if I can find the time in between making medications for venereal disease." "I can understand why the boys do it, though," Joan said sadly. "The ones I've nursed told me they were prepared to do anything to feel a bit of love in the midst of what they've had to face." Leo shivered, imagining Joan in the hospital of the army camp, situated about a mile out of Sutton Veney, listening to such admissions while she bandaged wounded men. "Are we awful, do you think? To stand here talking about the movies and mascara while..." "Of course not." Joan was emphatic, her Australian accent always more pronounced in moments of fervour. "I spend 12 hours a day trying to keep men from dying, and you spend just as long making medicines for the same purpose, not to mention keeping up their morale. Making the run to the chemist to collect supplies is the most popular job at camp." Leo blushed. "Are we going to the cinema or not?" she asked. "I just need some lipstick to go with my lashes." Leo passed Joan a jar filled with a glossy red cream. "You're a treasure. I'm sure you keep the nurses here better supplied than the ladies of London are." Joan dabbed some colour onto her lips, smoothed her hands over her brown hair, put a navy cloche hat on her head, and nodded with satisfaction. "What if Mrs. Hodgkins sees us?" Joan shrugged. "What if she does? It's not illegal to wear mascara." "Not yet. But probably only because nobody understands quite how much we all want to." Leo pointed at the magazine. "Do you think Theda Bara made me do it is a reasonable excuse?" Joan laughed. "Let's go. Then I can tell you my news." "I'll check on Daddy first." Leo flipped the clothes sign on the door labelled Harold East, Dispensing Chemist and Apothecary, and ran up the stairs to the flat where she and her father lived. Harold East was sitting at the table, supposedly reading the newspaper, but he had taken off his glasses and his eyes were closed. He looked thin and even paler than usual, and Leo wished for the thousandth time that she could get him the food he needed. Rationing was fine for someone young like her, but not for her father, whose health had floundered from the effects of grief since his wife had died in childbirth, the strain and deprivation of war making him age all the quicker. "Daddy," she whispered, putting a hand on his arm. He jumped, eyes flying open. "What's happened?" he said, searching for his glasses.